Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck, and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Chambrow. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Hi, this is Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, speaking with our co-host, Christina Chambrow, doctor of veterinary medicine. Today is June 21st, 2012, and we have been discussing on pet health, all about pet behavior. And if you have any questions about something your animal is doing and you would like to ask, we are open on the chat today. And I'm going to check that to make sure that it is definitely open. It's in the process of doing that now. How are you doing, Christina? I know this is a pretty hot summer. Do we have to talk about the heat with animals and how they might behave in that condition?
Well, there's so many wonderful websites, and the Humane Society does such a great job in promoting basic animal health care in the heat that I think most people who are listening to this show are well aware that you have to be very careful with your animals and not leave them in a car and not leave them out when it's hot and make sure they have water available and have fans on. So more importantly for this show would be just to observe their behavior. So all the time, whether it's hot or cold. But notice when the days are very hot, does your dog or cat love it? One of the cats I treated once was a black cat who loved to go up on a hot tin roof when it was 100 degrees out and sit there for 4 hours.
My goodness.
Now, you would think that would be awful, but they, you know, they would check on the cat and everything, and the cat loved it.
Well, okay, so we don't have to do anything.
So that cat craves heat.
Definitely.
So that would be a cat that you could use the rubric craves heat.
Or loves to sun.
Right. Well, I would think on a hot roof, it's more craving heat than just sun.
Really? Is there something wrong with a cat that does something like that, or is that normal?
I would say that it's, as we talked about behavior, that there's a whole range of normal behaviors that are different, and then when the behavior becomes extreme, it's clearly abnormal. And then there's a big in-between area where the only way you know it's abnormal is if it goes away when they become healthier. So I would put a cat in that craves heat like that, who otherwise was completely healthy, I would put it in the we're not sure if it's ill health or not, vibrational imbalance or not. If, however, the cat had other symptoms going on and started baking on the roof after the other symptoms went on, then clearly it would be part of the vibrational pattern.
Okay.
So
just see if there's
balance.
Any other signals that would let you know that something is awry, that is not out of balance, but this
and that's
cat
true.
May just like it.
Exactly. And, I mean, I have a friend who in the winter is bundled up with 5 or 6 layers, and in the summer she just absolutely adores sitting out in the sun on the beach for hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all know people like that. So that's more of an individual variation. But the trick is, especially, and this is a behavior type of thing, even though it's not a bad behavior, it's still so many. The wonderful thing about holistic health and the holistic approach to health is that we don't get caught up in any one symptom.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really looking at the whole animal in the context of the environment, family they live in the context of their entire life. So when we see something like the cat baking on the hot roof or a dog that just won't go out for a walk if it's over 80 degrees out, or an animal who's being timid, aggressive, irritable, too friendly, any of those behaviors, when we look back, we can say, oh, he's been that way since the day he was born. Or we can say, wow, you know, you're right. That just started a month after he was vaccinated. Or he does that for 4 days, or he does that for a week or two after every heartworm pill. Or
mm-hmm. making connections.
Yes, looking at the whole picture. Mm-hmm. What is, you know, what, and that's why keeping a journal is important, because you can make those connections. What's happening when?
Right.
And so that is the true joy. And while homeopathy was the way that I learned that, Hahnemann very clearly says you list all the symptoms that are currently going on. You list everything that makes them better or worse. You list all the symptoms they've ever had in the past. You interview their family to find out if there are things that are different from another person's perspective than the patient's, and you look for patterns. You look for connections. You look for concomitants. You look for modalities. You look for what makes this individual different with these symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we've talked several, you know, in both of our behavior talks, we've talked about how important it is to be looking at the history and everything that's going on to determine, is this a normal behavior, an iffy behavior, or clearly an ill behavior? So an example, one of the sections I was going to talk about was anxious animals and fearful and aggressive animals today. That was what I was going to finish up the behavior talk with. And I had a new client call in the other day with an aggressive dog. So her presenting complaint is, my dog is biting people, and I'm scared, and I don't know that I can keep this dog, because I'm really scared. If the dog bites a second time, it's already been reported once, and he's going to get killed because mm-hmm. of where she lives. So part of it is this a person who's going to be able to work with the dog or not? After working with me, it sounds like she is. We went back over the history because even the details of the biting may not give us good rubrics, because the details, and this woman is incredible with how she's been able to report the history and the details. When they got the puppy at 8 months of age, it's a Chinese crested and affin pincher, so luckily a relatively small dog, 20 pounds. And initially as a puppy, Ziggy was an aggressor to dogs but got away with it. The dogs, it didn't ever escalate. He would also chase people who were runners. And twice he scratched them, he bit enough to leave a scratch mark. So that was when he was a puppy. And then she got this great dog walker who turned him around. And by the time he was 2 years old, he was perfectly okay, even with runners, and never a problem on the leash. Any chasing, nipping, barking he did was well within the range of normal. So that brings up something that I've mentioned on both other calls and want to reiterate today, which is we have to make the distinction between a vital force imbalance and a behavior slash training, not behavior, but a training issue slash how the owners are doing things. So this was a case where at this point, so he has this tendency to be aggressive, but we'd put it in the middle range. And working with a trainer completely turned him around, and he was absolutely fine. And it took a couple of years before all that worked itself out. And for 2 years, he was fine. So 4 years after they got him, he then bit two more times. And now she's scared because he bit worse. So then we have to go back and look at the, well, and so the details of the biting was he was off the leash at the dog park, and there was a woman jogging with her dogs, who's somebody that they know, and they know the dogs, and he just went up and bit her and left two puncture wounds. And he also lunged and bit at the jeans of a man that was walking by while he was on a leash. And they'd passed him, and the dog turned around and bit the dog, the man. Now, the man was probably on drugs, strange eyes, slurred speech, etc. So that was, we have specifics, but why all of a sudden did that happen? So we go back in the history. That was early May, and on April 12th, he got his rabies vaccination.
Okay, so you're making the link?
When I look back, there were several other things that had changed a little bit, but that had been earlier on. And so it is probably, we can't say for sure, but we know that. What does the disease of rabies look like when it's at the end stage of rabies? When you actually see symptoms of rabies, there's biting and aggression. So the rabies miasm is often fear, biting, and aggression. Therefore, when you have an increase in aggressive behavior after a rabies vaccination, you can almost guarantee that it was because of the rabies vaccination. So therefore, any remedy that I use should be a remedy that's in the rubric in the mind section, hydrophobia. Even if they don't have a fear of water, per se, hydrophobia, by definition, is rabies. That's how the repertory uses it.
Okay.
And so I would limit, that would be my elimination rubric. The remedy would have to be in that rubric.
Okay. And are there many remedies with hydrophobia?
It's a medium-sized one. Let's see. One, two.
She's
probably
65
mm-hmm. remedies.
Oh, okay.
In the synthesis. So there's a good selection.
Okay.
To choose from.
It's
and
broad enough that it's not...
Yes. It's not too narrow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, then, what do we need in order to find a good remedy? We need a three-legged stool. So we need to see if there's any other symptoms that we can use that are unrelated to the aggression or unrelated to the hydrophobia. And so that's where the early warning signs that are in the Healthy Animals Journal on my website and on the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy website come in so useful. So she looked through those early warning signs and noticed that he has large protruding eyes and they seep all the time, leaving red stains. Now, that is much less since she's been using naturally tear-free canine, which is basil and turmeric. But that's a palliative treatment. That's not a curative treatment because if she stops the tear-free, the tears start leaving stains again.
So what do you mean? What do you mean, leaving stains? I don't understand. Oh, leaving stains on the fur?
On the face. Uh-huh, on the fur.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So the large protruding eyes were leaving red?
He was tearing.
Uh-huh.
So he had a tearing discharge, and tears frequently stain white dogs a reddish-brown color.
Oh, okay.
That's the same thing if dogs are chewing on their feet will often turn a reddish-brown color.
Okay.
So that's one of the early warning signs. Dogs, even with protruding eyes, shouldn't have tearing, you know, excessive tearing draining down their face.
Okay.
And then she said he's been unbearable. He licks others, not himself, never sits still on your lap, kneads your chest, crawls up close to your face. Now, when I talk to her, it turns out it's not that he licks unbearably. It's not that he licks so much. It's that he crawls up close to your face.
Okay, well, is that, that's very unusual?
Well, not a lot of dogs.
And he's licking on your face? Is that what he's doing?
The licking isn't that much. He just gives you a lick or two to say hi.
Oh, okay.
Whether it's on the hand or the face.
And so that's different from what he was doing before, the
no,
dog?
No, that's the same.
He's
always been that way. So we're not going to take that into as much account. But we can take, but it's still part of who he is. And that would be a behavior that we have to look at. She describes it as unbearable, which makes you think it's a key part of the case because
mm-hmm.
it bothers her so much.
Mm-hmm.
But some people just have different sensitivities. A friend of mine had a dog who licked her all the time, like when we were sitting at the edge of the swimming pool, for instance. And if he licked me twice, that was unbearable to me. I just don't like being licked by dogs. So you have to find out what is it. And so the crawling up close to your face didn't, when I talked to her so much, didn't really seem to be that out of the ordinary.
Okay.
So you have to, so each symptom you have to look at. And then
what if licking is not a pleasant thing for the owner and the dog is typically a licker? What
mm-hmm.
is there a problem? What can
no,
be done?
That's a problem with the owner. So again, you have to work with it because some of these symptoms that seem excessive might or might not be excessive. So you would, number one, you would work on with a whole lot of behavior modification
mm-hmm.
and a wide range of those. If that didn't do it, then you would move to homeopathy or flower essences. But the first thing would be to do just actual training. Try to see if you can train the dog out of doing that behavior. And if
mm-hmm.
he's not ill, he'll train out of doing that behavior.
Ah, so you're saying that what is a way that an animal would normally want to behave, just being friendly or being close or licking, this can be trained out of an animal?
Well, if they really are doing it too much.
Okay.
So, for instance, this dog, my friend's dog, two licks, I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit to say two licks would be unbearable to me. But it would be unbearable for me to sit there for 15 minutes being licked by a dog the way she was.
Oh, boy.
So I'm not, but I don't think that was unusual for that dog. That was just something he did. So for him, I could train that out of him.
Okay.
He would come up to lick, and I would say, Susie, sit.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would say, Susie, da-da-da, you know, or when he came up, I would have him sit first, knowing he was going to lick. Or I would put something that tastes bad on my skin.
Mm-hmm.
So there are multiple ways that you can train animals out of behaviors that you don't like, even if it's normal for them. I mean, it's normal for cats to use litter boxes, and yet people can train them to use a toilet.
Yeah, if they're lucky.
Right. But it is, what I'm saying is it's possible. So it's, you can certainly, we train our animals all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So there are most things you can train animals for. If you can't train them, then that may indicate that they've got their vital forces out of balance.
Okay.
Now here's another behavior this dog does. That I don't know if this is normal or abnormal. It's something I'll probably mention on some of my listservs and see what other holistic veterinarians say. What she says, and I didn't talk with her a lot about this because we'd already talked for so long. So this is a quote from the email. He does poop upwards against trees or other objects, which causes the stool to be more rounded than long. It sounds like he backs up to a tree to defecate instead of squatting.
Yes. Well,
now that's very, I've never seen that before or heard about that before.
She certainly gets into the little details there.
Well, that's a pretty big detail, actually, if that happens, you know, once or twice a day.
The dog backs up against, instead of finding, you know, like
squatting,
a place to squat, it backs up.
Right. He also has some agility issues about jumping up in her lap. And so the symptoms we have to look at is the aggression, fear, barking, so that's all mental. Pestering her is also, he pesters the other dog, which may be normal. The crawling into her face, which again may be normal. So there's some agility issues and the eye tearing. And that's really the symptoms we have. So we're going to work with a homeopathic remedy, and we're going to work with flower essences, Reiki, and she'll look into maybe doing Tellington touch or healing touch for animals.
Okay. So do you do all of these things at the same time?
It depends on the case, whether you do them all at once or not. Sometimes I'll start with one just to see what the effect is. But this dog has enough symptoms that I think we can do it all at once.
Okay. So let's find out what three of the rubrics you use as a three-legged stool. I don't really know specifically what the agility problem was.
Well, I would need to, I forget now, I'd have to look more. Probably
okay, so the
pain,
three
extremities, pain. I did it more on just knowing the materia medica of this remedy rather than repertorizing. But
okay.
Extremity, it would be probably extremity, pain, hips would be the one I was using.
Okay.
And there may be something on extremity, pain, hips, climbing. It's like, you know, jumping up is sort of like going up steps, so I might use going up steps. I think this dog did have some trouble walking up steps.
Ascending stairs,
yep. So that was one I could look at, but that's a pretty small rubric.
Okay.
And then we'd try to narrow it down to the right hip or the left hip, and those are each fairly good rubrics. And then for the eye, it would be eye tearing, eye lacrimation.
Okay.
So belladonna is the remedy that I'm using with this dog.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that we can look at with aggression, Dr. Komisar, who's a really good homeopathic veterinarian in Boston, wrote at one point, the rabies miasm manifests in animal patients primarily as behavioral symptoms, including aggression, suspicion, desire to kill, and desire to wander, which in the repertory is mind, escape, desire to. And that's something that's very specific that we often see in dogs after a rabies vaccination, that they start wanting to, all of a sudden, they never used to, but you open the door and they rush out and they run away.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be for long, but they have this desire to run away.
Okay, I'm trying to think. I think belladonna has that.
Uh-huh.
Desire to leave home or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As does probably if you crossed the hydrophobia rubric with desire to escape, I bet most of the remedies would be there. I haven't done that, but that would be an interesting thing to do, is to take each of the rabies symptoms and cross them and see which remedies came across. Actually, I think I did that years ago, but I don't have it handy. So a couple of the remedies that are in the hydrophobia rubric and are in the aggression rubric are one of the ones Let me just open up to that. I think this is there.
I was just looking in Kent's repertory under Mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's Home, Desires to Go. Desires to Go Home. There's
Bryonia.
Kent. Bryonia is the old one, but Belladonna is there also, interestingly. And then there's one, Desires to Leave Home, and it says Elat.
Elat, uh-huh.
It's with a T, E-L-A-T. I don't know what remedy is that. And then I'm going to see if I can look that up, unless it was Elaterium. Maybe it was a misspelling. And then we have Talks of Home, which is Belladonna again and Bryonia.
Well, the one that's better is the, you know, for Escape. This is Escape Attempts 2.
Okay, I'm looking at Escape Attempts 2.
And then there's a sub-rubric under that, To Run Away.
To Run Away, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, one of the remedies that I frequently find help with, well, the remedies I find help is listen, absolutely. They're angry. They can have violent temper, desire to kill. I've used it with animals that, I mean, it's normal to sort of kill squirrels and chipmunks for some breeds of dogs. But if they just, it's like they have to, and there's this violence about how they do it. And they're violent in other ways. And have a temper with people or are violent with people or other animals in the house, there's that desire to kill. And they often can be very sensitive and may get angry when they're reprimanded. Lachesis is a major rabies miasm rubric. It tends to have some jealousy, and you have to make a distinction between really being jealous or just wanting attention. So if a couple is kissing and their dog comes up in between them, it's probably just wanting attention. But if the dog is in the other part of the house, and when the husband comes into the wife's, goes into the bedroom and the wife is already there, and the dog jumps on the bed and growls at the husband, that's protective, but also could be jealousy. It's a little hard one to... You know, it's like a lot of people will say my dog is jealous, but then when you ask about it, it doesn't seem as strong as jealous. However, Lachesis doesn't have to have that, of course. Lachesis tends to be, you think of snakes being sneaky, and Lachesis can be sly, and they can act friendly and then lash out quickly, like a snake lashing out. There was several dogs that we've given the remedy to that have been angry ever since they got an injection, not necessarily of rabies, but it was the anger since an injection. You would think maybe Hypericum, but Hypericum didn't have the anger so much.
Or Letum.
Right. But again, neither of those have as much anger.
But what about, you might see it if there were other pets in the house? And then you could see the jealousy maybe more easily.
Absolutely. But even there, is it jealousy? Is it defending territory? Is it just wanting to be in on the action? So it is something you just have to be very, in treating behavior things and in using the mind section, you just have to be very clear as you're using rubrics. And if you're not, you can look at rubrics and use rubrics that aren't so clear, but you just don't base your case on it. Of course, you never base it on the repertory anyway. You base it on the materia medica. Another really good one is Nux Vomica. And Nux are animals that generally are nice as can be, friendly, outgoing, but when they move into their ill state, they become very irritable, very sensitive to noise, to light, therefore they often hide, and they can absolutely be just irritable. They can leap out and attack with no provocation. They don't have any guilt about it. They bark at strangers. I use Nux Vomica on a case, I think we talked about it the first week, the cat from hell.
Right.
Who was jumping in people's faces, and Nux Vomica cured that cat finally.
Okay. Do you have more? We have a message in the chat.
Oh, good.
That says,
let's take a break and we'll do the message.
Okay. It says, I read an article in the news yesterday. You're supposed to take your cat to the vet twice a year to undergo general anesthesia for a tooth cleaning. Can this be right? It's not really pet behavior. That's our topic
of
today.
That's okay. We're willing to answer any questions. So, is this person listening as well?
I believe
Do we know?
So.
Okay.
I believe.
Great. So that is definitely not needed at all.
Uh-huh.
Particularly if you feed a raw food diet with chunks, even if it's not 100%, but if you feed two or three times a week, chunks of meat that are big enough for the animal to gnaw on so that in order to make it smaller, or chicken necks, chicken backs, chicken wings, yes, it is okay to feed raw chicken bones. There's no problem with that. Cats in the wild don't pull out a match and build a fire and cook their meat, nor do they pull out a knife, cats and dogs, nor do they pull out a knife and debone it and not eat the bones. They have big teeth in the back that are designed to do that. So almost always you can manage the teeth in other ways other than dentistry twice a year. They're also now, it's wonderful, there are many clinics and traveling, quote, dentists that are offering non-anesthesia teeth cleaning. So that is something to keep in the back of your mind if you have an animal whose vital force makes it produce excess tartar. So my cat is probably 10 years old now, and he has tartar on his teeth. He's been on a raw food diet since he was born. His mom was on a good diet with some raw food. He's never been vaccinated, and he builds up some tartar on his teeth. When he goes through a spell of not being as healthy, one time I had to use my fingernails and chip some tartar off. Since then, it's just been a little, it's like this light coating of tartar, but it's not getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
So what's important is to go to a veterinarian once a year for a physical exam, but make sure they show you everything that is wrong with your animal and so that you can track it. And then you try something, change the diet, flower essences, supplements, Reiki, homeopathy, Chinese medicine, herbs, depending on what the problem is, and see if all those problems don't start going away on their own. And that includes teeth issues. There are things like Plaque Zapper by a company called Breathless, and you get that at Arc Naturals, and you put this powder in their food, and that may clear the teeth up. There are wipes that you can just wipe their teeth with. That may clear the tartar up. But the tartar, animals with tartar is an indication they're not completely healthy. So mm-hmm. I know that my cat is not 100% healthy. So it's something I work on. I try different supplements. I notice what changes when I do different things. So you are correct. It is not needed to go to a dentist twice a year for your animal. It may never be needed in their entire lifetime.
Okay. So that answers that question. And I was kind of... No, that's all for right now, but I was kind of wanting to laugh when you say, do cats cook their food and use a knife and a fork? And I think that what we're hearing more on the news are the relationship of the cat to their ancestors in the wild. I think that this is coming out more in shows and reports that I've been attuned to.
Excellent. I'm so glad that it's coming out more
mm-hmm.
because it's so important that we
yes.
don't do, that we really pay attention to how they are in their natural environment.
And since we're on a break from what we were talking about before, I wanted to tell the listeners that I visited your website today, ChristinaChambreau.com, and it takes you to the My Healthy Animals website. And right there you can sign up and subscribe to Heal Thy Animal Update newsletter and get other kinds of reports and get news from Dr. Chambreau. I don't know, how often do you send that out?
I try to do it once a month.
That's not too much. That we can handle.
And sometimes I barely make it, and I haven't gotten them all uploaded into. There is a page on the website under Learn More that has the back issues of the Healthy Animal Update.
Okay.
So that you can go back and read the ones that you've missed.
Great. So there is an archive of articles,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's how to say it. There's an archive.
Yep, that's fantastic. So there's a wealth of information if you love your pet and want to read up on either nutrition, meals, vaccinations, the early warning signs, heartworm, first aid. And then you have Keep an Animal Health Journal, which is really important. We stress that every week. Traveling with your companion, helping the planet, which sounds like we're good stewards of the earth, and hospice care. So there's a lot there, and you can get in touch with Dr. Chambreau via this Contact Us link, and she can help you out on a personal basis. Of course, send in your questions, and we will do our best to respond on air so other people can learn from your concerns as well. So,
and do you want to speak about what we're going to be doing for the summer? This might be a good time to do that.
I think we're going to take a summer break, and I might rebroadcast some of the old shows if you want to come in and listen in, and continue to send us questions, because we will then have a good selection of things to talk about when we start up again. We have another mention in the chat. It says, when a cat hides all the time, and this is a new behavior, what is this indicative of? Is it psychological, or does it show that there's a physical disease? So in the chat room, when you're saying the cat hides all the time as a new behavior, so something might
right.
have scared
it. If it's
it.
A new behavior, that's an important distinction to make, is that it's a new behavior. So, yes, I would say if it's a new behavior, there is some concern about the cat. So if you were, the first step that I would do at this point is I would get Reiki treatment, because you don't know what's going on. So if you already knew how to do Reiki, you could do Reiki on your cat, and the cat may be fine. If Reiki doesn't change that behavior, at the same time that you're doing the Reiki, you want to make a list of anything else that has happened that the cat is doing since beginning to hide. So is there also a decrease in appetite, an increase in appetite, a decrease in energy, any painfulness, hair loss? Ears feel hot, feet feel hot or cold, seems to be any pain. One of the things in my journal is I teach you how to do a physical exam. So as you feel over the animal, you can, you know, I tell you some things to be looking for. And if there are other symptoms, then you may need to work with a holistic veterinarian, either a local one or somebody, a homeopathic one that you can work with by telephone. And if blood work is needed or an x-ray is needed, then you can go in to work to your local veterinarian, along with working with the homeopathic veterinarian by phone. And at that point, then there's multiple different treatments depending on what the different symptoms are or what the blood work shows. But the first thing, actually the second thing, so one is to look at what's going on with the cat. The second thing when a cat is hiding is to look at what's going on in the environment. Are you renovating your house? Is something happening outdoors? Did a neighbor move in with a noisy dog? Is there a stray cat that is pounding on your window or sending his scent all around the house? Is there, are you and your spouse fighting? Did a child just leave home? Did you just retire? Did you just go off to work? So there are a whole lot of things that you would look at around the environment the cat is in to know if that's causing a problem. Did you get a new rug or new furniture, which could be outgassing organic, volatile organic compounds, or just paint the house? So there are multiple different things to be thinking about that could cause that behavior. The other thing that you can always do immediately is to start using Rescue Remedy. Rescue Remedy is 100% safe, and it's one of the best things to help with any behavior issues, as well as any, often it will help with physical issues as well as behavior issues. So Reiki and flower essences with Rescue Remedy being relatively available would be a great way to start with your cat who's hiding. And if you are more concerned, then definitely you want to be working with a holistic veterinarian.
Well, we have a caller in today. Dara is in the chat and on the line with us.
Good.
So you can talk directly. Hello, Dara. Where are you calling in from, please?
I'm calling in from Florida.
Great. Along the East Coast.
Nice okay. And hot down there.
Yes.
What can we do for you, Dara?
No, it's Darlene.
Darlene?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question. I'm just fostering 2 12-week-old kittens, and they're hiding. I haven't really been able to, you know, handle them yet. I don't know if I should push it. It's been, just yesterday I took them home.
Oh, yeah. You have to be very, very patient. Where did they come from? Were they street kittens? Were they from a feral mom, or did they come from a shelter?
No, actually, they came from a, they were in with like 100 cats. It's like a warehouse that this lady has, and
yep.
She, you know, that sort of thing.
Great. So they're trying to close it down. So there's so many things. Definitely you need to be patient with that. So number one is you want to find somebody in your area who does Reiki and have them come to the house and offer Reiki to the cats. Or
well,
I
know a little bit of Reiki. So
have you been attuned? Have you done level one or level two?
I'm more just like level one.
Level one. Okay. Level one, you need to be, you know, fairly close to them. So definitely do offer them Reiki. See if they'll take Reiki. And do that twice a day.
Okay.
That may be all you need to have them calm down and come out. The second thing is Rescue Remedy. Are you familiar with Rescue Remedy?
Yes, I've heard of that, yes. Mm-hmm.
So get the regular Rescue Remedy. Don't waste your money on the pet one. And put 4 drops of Rescue Remedy into a 1-ounce dropper bottle. And every time you feed them, shake the bottle a little bit and then put a drop or two of the diluted Rescue Remedy onto their food.
And that's another thing I was going to ask you. I'm feeding them raw food. And
excellent.
How long can you keep out a raw food? Because they're...
An hour.
You know, that's it?
I would say an hour. They should eat all they need within an hour, and then, you know, you may put it back out again. Put out just enough that they're going to eat, you know.
Because, no, they're not really eating. You know, one isn't eating at all.
Mm-hmm. The other thing to do is Reiki the food before you give it to them.
Oh, okay.
And then you also need to experiment with other foods so to get them to eat. So try things that cats like. Mm-hmm. And if you go to my website and read a lot of the nutrition things,
mm-hmm.
And do you have any books at home? Do you have Anitra Fraser's book, The Natural Cat, The Natural Cat? Or Dr. Pitcairn's book, Natural Health for Dogs and Cats?
No, but I read a lot on the internet. You know,
okay.
I always,
It'd be good to have at least one good holistic book at home.
Okay.
Whether it's Marty Goldstein's, if you're always doing cats, then I would get Anitra Fraser's The Natural Cat. It just gives you so much. She has whole chapters on bringing, her newest book even talks about feral cats. So she has whole chapters on helping to get them eating and what foods are good bribe foods. Most cats like fishy things, so you can offer tuna fish, bonita flakes, sardines, and if they scarf that up, then you can put a little bit of that on top of your regular raw food diet. You can try baby food. You can even try some high-quality canned foods, and if they eat that, then you can start mixing the raw food with that.
Okay.
One you can reiki the food before you give it and rescue remedy in the food, then put one drop of rescue remedy in a... They should have access to water that doesn't have rescue remedy in it and a bowl that has one drop of rescue remedy in it. So you have two bowls in with them. That way, if they're thirsty, they can drink the regular water. If they want the rescue remedy water, they'll drink that.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they'll definitely be able to taste the rescue water?
Yep.
Okay.
So that's the beginning. Those are the first things to do. And then where in Florida do you live?
Like in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. Near Fort Lauderdale is one of the best homeopathic veterinarians. He's in North Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Larry Bernstein. B as in boy, E-R-N-S-T-E-I-N. And
okay.
He's incredible. So if you do run into issues with them, it would be worth connecting up with him. And he's also been a leader in the field, so he may know who is currently seeing animals in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. Okay. Is it just natural for them to be scared?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Imagine if you had been living with 100 cats and all of a sudden you were by yourself.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Almost like being a feral cat. So they're scared of people. They may have never been touched by a human hand.
No. This warehouse, no. Someone goes in there, they clean, you know, it's a regular facility, you know what I mean?
Okay, so it's not a hoarder.
No.
Okay. So, were they?
They left all alone.
Were they petting? Were they petting the cats? And what food were they feeding?
Yes. Well, no. This person actually has her own huge center, and she makes all the raw food and all that stuff.
Okay, so they were. So that's the other thing I would do is I would check with that person and find out what raw food were they feeding and what was her experience with these two kittens to see maybe they've always been this way or maybe it's just been in the transition. But what,
yeah.
In 24 hours, I wouldn't expect 100% normal, you know,
friendly
out there.
Yeah.
So Christina, in this case, we can't tell anything about the disposition of the cats that we would want to give it the cats aconite for a shock of any kind, just as any kind of a rule.
Right. Aconite and arnica are both ones that are possible. Arnica, when you think there's been any trauma or abuse, like a real a cat coming from the street. But here, and aconite would be absolutely fine. If you're familiar with homeopathy and you have homeopathic remedies, aconite for coming in and being afraid would be fine. It's just that it may or may not work because
it might not be matching their energy.
It's not matching. So that's why I would start with Reiki and rescue remedy first. But it would be it'd be absolutely fine to do a dose of aconite and rescue remedy and Reiki, and then continue the Reiki and the rescue remedy.
And
as long as you're getting improvement, then you're fine.
Okay.
I did put all of those notes right on the chat for you, Darlene, so you can look at it. And
okay.
And anybody else who gets on the chat, it's really a great idea for you to put, you know, your location and your name. And then if you do call in, let us know, because unless I was looking at that dashboard, I would never have known that you had called. So I'm glad I did check it.
Now, the other thing is, I don't know a lot about this person, but there's a Dr. Johnson who does house calls in the Fort Lauderdale area, and the website is holisticnatural.com.
Okay.
So if you need help, that's another possibility for you.
Okay.
It sounds like you're going to have a journey with these little kittens.
Yeah.
And get them settled into a new home.
Good for you. You're already doing a lot of holistic things and have that available. So that's wonderful.
Thank you for advice. That's great.
You're welcome.
And if you wish to just continue to listen in.
Well, we're about done.
Yeah, we have about 5 minutes or so, or
well,
8 minutes.
Yeah.
If you wanted to talk about the Nux Vomica, you had any other remedies?
No, I sort of aim for 11:45. So.
Oh, you aim for 11:45. Okay,
right.
I didn't realize that.
So we're about, well, we started at half an hour and then we added 15. And
okay, that's fine.
Usually we're done about 11:45. I just want to make sure there weren't any other questions on the chat.
No, I think that we covered it.
Good.
Yeah, that's good.
So just to remind people that we'll be starting up again in the fall.
Right.
And in the meantime, if a lot of people contact the website and say, we miss this, we want this, then maybe Debbie and I can be convinced to start doing it at least every other week or once a month or something like that. So if you miss us and you want more now, let us know. Right, Debbie?
Sounds good to me. Yeah, we love talking to you and educating the public and letting people know how to take care of their pets in the most humane and compassionate way. And that means all the things that we do for holistic remedies and approaches and nutrition, exercise, everything that you would want to do for yourself.
Yep, absolutely. That's wonderful. Okie dokie, I'll let you sign off.
Okay, I will take care of the rest of the show and have a great day in your garden.
I will. Talk to you later.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we just finished with Dr. Shambro, and in about 15 minutes, or 7 minutes rather, we're going to have Alan Phillips, attorney at law, and Greg Glazer, a constitutional lawyer from California, come in and talk to us about vaccinations and your rights in the United States. We're going to have a great show coming up. Trying to see what we have in store for you. It's proposed as a case for the human race, acknowledging the hard evidence that modern vaccines are part of a malicious population control agenda. It sounds like a conspiracy to me, and inviting rational citizens to seek their own reasonable remedy in radically reforming the entire medical system from the organic ground up. And one of the things about this is, in terms of pets have been the canary in the coal mine. They have been our warning sign about vaccines. And even today on the show, Dr. Shambro told us all about the repercussions in animals in their behavior when they get their annual rabies shot and how aggressive they become. Now, can you imagine, it's not just the rabies toxin that the animals are getting to supposedly immunize them from getting this disease, which can be very, very bad, but the repercussions in the animal's behavior makes them not able to live in the family. You know, you want to put them down because of the aggression and their desire to bite, to kill, to be harming other animals and strangers and even people they've been living with for many, many years. So it's not just the toxin in the vaccine. It's the adjuvants, it's the metals, it's how they prepare it. And this goes directly into the animal's blood, into their muscle tissue, and circulates in the body. And what we have also found in humans is that there is neurological damage to humans as well as, you can see, to animals. The other thing is the adjuvants and the metals and the other toxins and contaminants build up, and they don't get eliminated from the body. And therefore, you're going to see worse and worse behavior. In humans, many people, and physicians included, consider autism and ADD and ADHD and other kinds of symptoms in humans when children are incapable of learning part of the consequence of the number of vaccines that are given today. And so we're going to be talking to on the legal side with the two attorneys and find out what they are thinking, especially Greg. He's going to lead the talk and tell us why he thinks that there is something going on in the government with this particular situation, and why and what hard evidence he has that this is part of population control. And, you know, I never thought of it in animals as population control. We really do think of it in a very positive way, that it is protecting the animal from disease and protecting owners from contracting disease. But we're going to begin to question this the more we learn. Previous shows we've had were dedicated to vaccines in animals, and you can go back on the archives and see listen to those on Homeopathy World Community. Click the little banner on the right-hand column that shows the picture of Dr. Chambreau in her hat. And what I'm going to do now is get you ready for the next show with a little bit of exit music. And don't forget to listen to our show on Wednesday morning with Dr. Otto, cardiologist, who teaches us everything about how to keep well and how to learn the signs of illness in our body. We've been doing some in-depth medical study together. And on Monday, I believe we're going to talk about dealing and coping with heat, the summer heat, which is getting high temperatures this particular summer. And that will be on Monday at 11 a.m. on the Health In Show. So go to Homeopathy World Community and click on the top banner to the Health In Show. That's a live video stream. So we're going to close out and open up in one more minute. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Pet Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Bruck and Dr. Christina Chambreau. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when show airs, share with friends on Facebook and Twitter, and send in your comments and questions. See you next time!